Don't you rant!
Hello, friends. We're back. Sort of. For a bit. Kind of. We have decided to delve into a little of the peripheral Gremlins media. And today we're talking about some music that has some affiliation, which we'll get into that later. But Neil, if you were going to start a band about young girls' loves and hopes and losses and dreams, what would your band name be?
Oh, God. You know what? I'm going to go with something like Pink Fairy Armadillo. Something kooky and crazy. Imagine,
is the armadillo itself pink, or is it wearing like it's pink fairy clothes?
Combo. It's an anthropomorphized armadillo.
Okay.
That's dressed like a pink fairy.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's like walks around like on legs and
maybe the
I'm thinking merchandising here.
It's perfectly ripe for merchandising. You know, it's little plush armadillo fairy things.
Now,
it's the next big thing, George.
What's the armadillo's demeanor? Is it kind of like happy, or is it a little disgruntled?
Well, as a lover of all things Japanese, I feel like it's going to be like a cutesy kind of, you know,
very kawaii.
Always happy. Yeah. Just fun loving, always happy.
Like the peace sign. Yata!
Very saccharine kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, ingratiatingly saccharine.
So it's going to look like a Pokemon.
Yeah, it's really messed up. It's really they're going to love it. These kids are going to love it.
Got to catch them all. And by all, we mean the feels.
Yeah, by the way, listeners, welcome back, listeners.
We're
back, for, as George says, for a couple of these little things. By the way, I have no idea why you want to talk about this particular person, George. We'll get into it. George asked me to listen to this this artist. He said, go check this artist out. He said, don't read about this artist. Don't do anything. Just listen to some of the music. And I was like, I'll go with it, George. I trust you, George. And so I did. And I've got some thoughts on the music itself.
Well, just to go into this, give you a little background. We will today be discussing the latest two albums by the folk rock artist.
Folk.
Indie darling. I don't know. Frankie Cosmos is her name. That's her stage name anyway. And she has put out several albums. The last two are Vessel is the 2018 release. And what is the newest one?
Close It Quietly.
Close It Quietly.
This year.
And I wanted Neil to have a listen and give his completely unbiased view on the music, on the tone, on the subject matter, on the artist herself. And then after we talked about it for a bit, I'll let him know what the connection is. So, Neil, let's start talking about Vessel. That was the 2018 release.
Yeah. Seminal.
Seminal,
piece.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. What an album, George. I just got to say straight up, this is not really the kind of music that I tend to listen to. I don't listen to a lot of music, George. When I listen to stuff either on the way to work or after work or whatever, or I'm taking a walk, it's normally a podcast. It's normally more of an informational thing. I don't tend to listen to a lot of music just purely for enjoyment. Although sometimes I find I'm in a shop or something and there's a song on that I like that I don't know, so I'll Shazam it. And then later on, I'll come back and I'll kind of...
It's usually by Oasis.
Maybe it's by Oasis. and I'll kind of listen to a bit of, you know, a few tracks, maybe the little samples iTunes got. And then if I like it, I'll buy it. And then that'll probably last a couple of weeks when I'll listen to it. And then I'll just forget about it again.
Gotcha. So yeah, so you're not really a music guy. So
not
it's
massively.
More interesting to have you slide into here as like not a music guy, more of a informational podcast guy. Well, let's talk about this.
Yeah. I mean, look, this music style is not really what I would go to, but I did like some of the tracks on this album. It seems to me that there are two different kind of tracks in this album. There is the real kind of melancholy, angsty, slow, depresso type, normally just one guitar. Almost all these songs on this album is just her and a guitar, right?
Yeah, they're very simple. And also, I'll notice a lot of her songs are very short.
Yes,
I think the shortest one we reviewed was 32 seconds long, and they go up to the title track for the Vessel album is 3.5 minutes, which is basically like an opus for her.
Yeah, go on, George.
I would say I don't hate that. I kind of like that sort of like, but I also wonder if it has some sort of like reflection on like younger culture's idea of what, like, you know, there's attention span sort of thing.
Short attention span.
Let's listen to a song for 45 seconds to a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that's something to do with that.
Maybe. I mean, maybe it's the listener's attention span. So maybe it's a kind of cognizant thing on the songwriter's part for that reason.
Yeah,
or
because
maybe it's just her own attention span. She's like, I'm done with this one.
I can absolutely tell that she is very aware of her audience, very aware of the style she is portraying. I don't think it's manipulative in a way, but I do think that she knows who wants to listen to the kind of music she puts out.
It's definitely stylized. I mean, it's her style, of course, as an artist. But I feel like it's stylized. Yeah, I think it's a directional thing going on here, George. Now, for me, there's those kind of moody, melancholy ones. Then there's like some faster ones, a bit more upbeat. So like the track Caramel Eyes, which I think is maybe my favorite one in this album.
That's the lead-off track on Vessel, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. It's upbeat. I mean, I like, despite the typo in the name George, she uses a Z for some reason. It's more upbeat. There's other ones that are upbeat too, like The Ballad of R&J, Accommodate, Being Alive. Those are my favorite ones, I think, on Cafeteria as well. Those are my favorite ones because they're just a bit more beady, a bit more fast-paced. There's maybe a bit of drum in there. So there's a bit more going on. I like those ones more. I'm not so down with the kind of emo, sad, depresso bits.
Okay. Is it just because, I don't know, it's like some of her like slatter stuff. Like I think, what was it? I really liked As Often As I Can. I thought that was a nice little slow tempo, but it had a good, you know, its core was nice. I liked that one a lot. I don't know. Overall, what would you say this first out, this, well, her 2018 offering, what was the tone you kind of walked away with for the whole thing? What was the overall feeling?
Let me tell you, George, I hate the movie Juno.
Okay.
And a lot of these tracks could have fitted quite nicely onto the soundtrack for Juno.
Okay.
To me, this is the kind of music that like the spacier chicks in college used to love. And this is at the time when I was into bands, as you say, George, like Oasis, like Blur, people like that, bit of Britpop in the 90s. The girls were digging all this kind of emo stuff. And it passed me by, I have to say, George. There are a couple of other, the other standout tracks on this one, like Bus Bus Train Train, I quite liked. There are tons on this album. There's like, because it's short, there's like 20 tracks or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing. It's like you get a lot, like 18 on Vessel, which is, that's normally it's 12, maybe 10 is your kind of your standard, your full length album offering these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same Thing has a good rocking beat as well. I think I like Same Thing maybe more than Caramel. Same Thing was really, really good, actually. So what I took away from Vessel was that there are a couple of, she's not just a one-trick pony. There are a couple of facets to her style, and there are some encouraging aspects, like the ones that I mentioned that I like. And I think we'll find as we go into talk about the next album, George, she starts to develop that a little more, and I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah, so just to give you guys a little like back, this is her fourth album. She started in 2014 with Zentropy, moved on to 2016, Next Thing, and then just dumped it out because now we like 2018 and 19, she's got two albums back to back. So I'm not sure what spurred her to start releasing so much, but she's definitely filling the airwaves.
I guess now,
we're used to the whole maybe one album every 5 years, maybe. mentality,
but just because it's like difficult to do.
Yeah, but this like this digital world where you can just sort of like record as you go, and
yeah,
there's a very garagey DIY vibe about her stuff. Yes. I like the fact that she incorporates outtakes and like stuff where she kind of attempted.
Yeah.
It puts me a lot in mind of early Ani DiFranco back in the early 90s, which is actually when she was born. Frankie Cosmos is 25 years old, people.
Wow.
Yeah, so but there was a couple of tracks on some of like her Dilate album where she would start Ani DiFranco's Dilate album where she would start and mess up and go back and try again and have a couple of just little bits where you could kind of hear the process. And I really liked that about that. And I think in a weird way, this gives me that vibe. The album gives me that vibe of that sort of very open and heartfelt, but sort of like for a modern heart. Whereas DiFranco's stuff in the earlier days was very intense and aggressive because she had been through some shit and she had not fared well emotionally through a lot of it. And she put a lot of that into her music. Whereas I do feel that as much as I mean, this is obviously about love and loss and heartache and broken hearts and sadness for a lot of it. But this is definitely coming from a heart that hasn't seen like the yawning pits of despair that life can offer at times.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you think that's because she is quite young? She hasn't really got that life experience yet, George, or am I being a bit, I don't know, deprecating?
No,
this?
I mean, I think that you can go through some crazy ass shit and still be young. I just don't hear that in her music. Because if she has, given her upbringing, I don't know, but I don't see that.
Well, I mean, you know, you're right, George. You can go through a lot at a young age, I guess. Can you put that into your music and kind of can you get that message across in your music?
Well, some people really can because I do believe like just coming back to the Ani DiFranco aspect, like a lot of the stuff that she'd gone through was in her teens, like really bad, like you know, like teenage years and childhood, that sort of stuff, and she just had that ability to translate that pain into music, and I think it's there, and conversely. As she got older and started becoming more well-adjusted and realizing that like or processing a lot of the stuff she'd gone through that changed in her music. And I personally stopped listening to a lot of her music when she started to be happy, which is a weird way. But sometimes that's the stuff you gravitate to with an artist is like
true.
Was that sort of time because it resonates with what you're going through.
Yes, that's right. If that's the kind of place you're in. You'll want to listen to that kind of music. Bizarre, I'm not sure it helps. But I mean, it's just normal, I guess, isn't it?
But yeah, I think for the general individual who listens to this style of music, and I feel like there's a lot there because it's not the sort of like apocalyptic heartache that or something that just changes the entire landscape of your world. But it's all real and it's all relatable. As anyone who's ever been through a breakup or loved someone who hasn't loved them back or that sort of thing, it's easily relatable music. And I think that, I mean, for the most part, I enjoyed, like, I feel that maybe sometimes the shorter song length worked not in my favor as far as liking it, because sometimes it felt like some of the stuff blended together and I'm like, oh, we're on a different track now.
Well, yeah. And it's just done. It's like you're getting into a song and it's just like a minute and a half in and you think, oh, this is quite good. And it stops. It's like,
yeah, there were a couple of them. I legitimately like, oh man, I want to hear more of this.
Yeah, exactly. Fortunately, there's another 15 tracks.
The typo, I mean, the selective spelling drives me nuts because I'm old, but I love the tone of that. And that's 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's one of the outtakes where I think it never kind of like, but I wanted to hear more of that song. I was like, let's hear more.
Does she not even do that? Like, is it not even like, there's an outtake that they kind of stuff up and then it's the song. Is that not how that works? I forget about that particular one.
No, not really. It's half of it is outtake. And then it just is kind of open. It's
just
over.
Ditched it. Oh, well.
But like, my phone is 32 seconds long. And that's a solid like little 32 second song about like, hey, I don't need my phone because I know you're there. And
just
it's like
a little
great,
ditty.
It's a nice little feeling. Yeah.
It's a little ditty. That's me. Yeah. That's what kids are like these days, George. It's just, you know, 30 seconds, got bored, just started something else.
Like, on to the next Instagram
yeah,
post.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's jump forward into this year and let's talk about Close It Quietly, 2019's Frankie Cosmos release.
Curious title for the album, George. I don't know where it comes from. Didn't read anything about it. I was told not to read anything about it, so I didn't.
Given the tone of a lot of her music, this is sort of, I feel like it's this kind of like a, if you're leaving in the morning, close the door quietly. Like be considerate of, and not necessarily mean just like, okay, well, we hooked up and like you're gone in the morning, but just being considerate in general about close it quietly, maybe end a relationship like quietly, like find a way to do it without making it some sort of dramatic thing.
Oh, you mean like close the relationship quietly?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Don't, you know, let's not like go nuts here and start.
Yeah,
not
some sort of like massive breakup in the middle of a Starbucks. Yeah, just like you know, downtown.
Just jog on. Just you know,
have a conversation. Walk on. It might suck and it might be hard, but like talk about how you feel and let that person know so they're not always wondering. Because most problems, I think, from relationships come from the fact that there's never any closure. It's just they stop talking to me and then we're done. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know how it ended. I don't know if it was something I did, if it was something that they had, maybe they met somebody else. And, you know, there's always these question marks. And that's what leads people to like lose trust in other people and turn their relationships into battlegrounds versus, you know, these places of commonality.
Well, yeah, I mean, giving someone closure is a very selfless act, you know, and when you do end a relationship, giving closure to that other person means you have to probably do something you don't necessarily want to do, which is, you know, talk more and be open and have difficult conversations for their benefit. And it's, I think a lot of people just kind of renege from that and just,
and especially if you're the one who's ending things, saying things to someone that are not going to make them happy.
Tough.
It's hard. Yep. Yeah. It's saying like, you know what? Well, I don't like this, or I can't do this, or I'm just not feeling this. And being able to just say those words, that's hard. And that's one of those things that I feel like we're missing more and more of as our generations progress beyond us, Neil. The ones that will outlive us, I think we're losing that.
We're still keeping the end up, George. But
trying to.
Yeah, trying to. But Close It Quietly was a slightly different.
Also, on a slightly note, I'm sorry to anybody I've ever ghosted.
I'm not, fuckers. You deserved it. Close It Quietly was is totally different. I like this album much better, George. It's more, I feel like it was more layered, and it just sounds way better produced, if you know what I mean. It's like her record company kind of upgraded her to like a much better studio producer or something.
Well, I also sort of think that this is her fourth album. I think at this point they're like, okay, we need to take it up a notch. Maybe like, you know, a slightly bigger sound, maybe a few more instruments in there. Like DIY is great, but eventually DIY doesn't sound like you're trying.
Mm. Yeah.
At least, as far as like the evolution of an artist goes. And that's, I don't know if that's like how we're conditioned as listeners who go like, okay, well, you're five albums in. Why don't you have, you know, like the big brass band behind you or a marching band, or why aren't you aren't doing stadium tours or something like that? But I don't really like stadium tour music typically.
Right.
So I typically like smaller bands. So finding that sweet spot between, well, this is me and my ukulele in a cardboard box just to give that sort of like lo-fi sound is one thing. But I much prefer like kind of like that mid-ground where you feel like there's session musicians or at least people that you know who are like who get your sound.
Yeah, I had a similar note. I said that it's like she found some new instruments at the back of the studio. And you know, she incorporates them quite nicely. You know, she's obviously a decent musician. She's trying some new things, and that's good. Now, just back on Vessel for one sec, because what I didn't do, George, is listen to the previous two, so her first two albums. Is Vessel change up from the one before? Is Vessel like her really kind of like first, I don't know, proper in inverted commas?
I feel like from the beginning up until now, it's a slowly upward trajectory as far as like a finished product. And I like the fact that she never, like her style is basically from the beginning been the same style, like her lyrical style, her singing style. It's almost like a not spoken word. She does sing what she says, but she's not afraid to just say it versus like, okay, I have to fit this into some sort of like rhyme, or okay, I need a couplet or some sort of I am needs to go right here. She's more like a, like just kind of singing, almost like a freestyle singing. Like she's, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like her. I like that she's not afraid to put out something that isn't super, like it's poetic, but it's not polished.
Yeah, she does. It's not, it's like she's not trying too hard. Like she's just doing it kind of naturally. It's got a natural feel to it. It is kind of talky sing. Like you say, sometimes she's just kind of talking it through, or sometimes she is singing it, you know. But she's not kind of it's not contrived. It does seem kind of like it's flowing from a kind of a normal kind of place. I think normal's not the right word. You know what I mean? So it's like a natural kind of place.
She feels it. Like yeah. versus manufacturing it, she feels everything she says. And honestly, I really resonate that in an artist. If I can feel what they're feeling when they sing a song.
I appreciate
then
that.
Then I'm there.
Yeah. So this one, I like the song So Blue because it has a really mm-hmm. great bass intro. It's got this really nice bassy kind of guitar-y bit coming in. And it kind of reminded me a bit like that song by Feeder. You know that song, Buck mm-hmm. Rogers? It kind of reminded me of that. And this album reminded me a bit more of kind of, I don't know, there's some kind of 80s sounds in there, George. Bit of organ going on.
Yeah, no,
I'm
that.
I'm a sucker for an organ, George.
You love an organ.
Love an organ. You know, well, anything that reminds me of the 80s and synths and all that, George, you know what I'm like.
Yeah. Yeah, not great. It's got a sort of like a nice driving beat to it. It reminds me of, I'm trying to remember the guy, he's an artist back in the later 90s. And I'm completely blanking on it now.
Later 90s artist.
Play some Google Music for me, Neil.
Alexa, play some late. I don't even have an Alexa. The
Hayden. His name is Hayden. H-A-Y-D-E-N. He has this one song. He only had maybe two albums that I can remember. But he had this one song called Dynamite Walls, which had a very similar sort of like pulsing Ooh. Beat to it. Right. Really enjoyed it. It was a weird low vibe sort of thing, but it had a very nice like sort of driving undertone to it.
I'm gonna have to check that out, George. Hayden, everyone.
Like Hayden Christensen, but better.
Right. There you go.
At least that's how you spell the first name.
And like I usually like an ethereal vocal, George. And ethereal style kind of harmonics. I'm a bit of a sucker for that in a song. And, you know, like, do you know Tame Impala?
I do, yep.
Yeah, that sort of thing I quite like. And, I mean, this is not like Tame Impala, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But she's kind of getting a bit more in that direction with some of this kind of ethereal stuff. She goes a little too far with it and for me, and she gets a bit elfy and a bit spacey. But, you know, when she tones it correctly, and I think she gets it right more often in Close It Quietly than in Vessel. And so when she gets it right, like, and when she combines that with like a good bass intro, like on So Blue, or Windows has this punchy drum beat intro, and it sounds a bit like an organ again. It's like when she gets it right, she really nails it. And I like, you know, I like some of these songs quite a lot. And I was surprised, George, because when you put me onto this and I started listening to Vessel as the first one, and, you know, the first few tracks on Vessel really set the tone as very emo.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, George, oh, God, I hate this. And then, and so it got a little better in Vessel, some of the good songs. And then Close It Quietly was pleasantly surprising for me.
Yeah, I definitely find myself often falling into the I like their earlier stuff better trap as far as artists go. But I don't know. I think with her, I kind of like the more she grows. And I think that's a sign of a good artist.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, yeah, you can hit initially with like something that really sort of like resonates with your listeners, your fans. But I think that if you can continue to grow and change and evolve and still put out stuff that people like, then that shows that you have longevity and you're not just a flash in the pan that, oh, well, they put out this great album in 97, but haven't really heard anything of them since then. And then you find out they put out 8 albums since then.
Yeah. And there's a danger of being too prolific. And that's kind of, you know, when we're talking about kind of how easy it is, or easier it is these days, I should say, it's not easy to pump these albums out. And she's doing it now, kind of once a year, she's getting an album out. And it's all right, short songs, but it's like 20 odd songs on each album. And I would caution Frankie, if you're listening, Frankie,
yeah, yeah.
You know, just ease off the gas a little. It's all right just to kind of like enjoy the, you know, the fruits of your hard work that you put into Vessel and close it quietly. I'm sure there, you know, it's a lot of hard work. You know, just ease off a bit, and you know, give your fans and your listeners time to enjoy those albums. Don't just I think cranking out the next one in 2020s is not where I would go.
I think this might be indicative of the new model for music. Artists don't make money on album sales anymore because streaming. So the only way they make money is to tour.
Oh, really?
And the only way to tour is a tour on a new album. And so she makes new albums so she can go out and tour. So that might be part of the reason why she's put out multiple albums recently, because she's maybe with Vessel, she like had a really solid tour run. And she's like, crap. Or maybe she's had a really solid run of inspiration, and this is like what came of it. She's like, well, wow, I had a really good time out there, and it really kind of like lit my fires, and so I put out all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Well, fair enough. I mean, who am I to tell this enterprising, successful young lady what to do? There's one song that I wanted to mention on Close It Quietly, George, called Even Though I Knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this one. It's a bit like the House Martins. Do you know the House Martins, George?
I don't know them, other than the Monty Python reference.
Okay, different, but good, nice deep cut. The House Martins is Norman Cook, a.k.a. Fatboy Slim. Two guys who went on, so this is pre-Fatboy Slim. This is Norman Cook's kind of first band. And it wasn't really his band. He was one of four guys. Two guys who went on to create the Beautiful South. Do you know the Beautiful South?
Mm-mm. Nope. Are these all British bands?
Yeah, British bands. And then you must know Fatboy Slim, though, right?
I know Fatboy Slim.
Yeah. And then the fourth guy who I forget. And then so
Fatboy
they were quite.
Slim is a big fan of Dune, by the way. But
is that right? Well, I shall ask him if he's at my cousin's. Because my cousin knows him. They live in a town called Brighton on the south coast of England.
Yeah.
Isn't that where
The Streets is from?
Oh, it could be. Yeah, I don't know, actually. The Streets.
Was it Brighton or Brixton? Maybe.
I think he's a Londoner. I feel like The Streets is a Londoner.
So Brixton would be where he's from?
Brixton is in London, yeah.
Yeah.
So Brighton. So Norman Cook lives down in Brighton. So does my cousin. And their kids go to the same school.
Yeah.
And my cousin's 50th birthday is at the end of November, so I'll be down in Brighton for the party. If Fatboy Slim is there, I'll ask him about Dune.
I guarantee you, Weapon of Choice, his song, is 100%. Like, the entire song is Dune references.
Right. And there you go, then.
Yeah.
Perfect. I've got a talking point with Fatboy Slim.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Like, I'm sure, consequently, on another show I'm working on, that will be talked about pretty thoroughly.
Oh, wow. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that another time, George, your upcoming project.
We could talk about that after, but now,
at the end,
Neil,
yes.
I feel like we've sort of like,
right.
Given an overview. Now, would you like for the great reveal as to why this is germane to Gremlins?
Can I have a guess?
Yeah, take a guess.
Because this has got, maybe you don't even know, listeners, Frankie Cosmos has got a Gremlins connection.
She does.
And I don't know what it is, but I'm going to say, she's not Zach Galligan's daughter, is she?
No, she's not Zach Galligan's daughter.
Good for her.
Did he ever reproduce? I don't know.
I'm kind of hoping not, but...
I'm kind of curious. Zach Galligan has kids.
How else could she be? Maybe she's a huge Gremlins fan. I mean, that sounds too tenuous. Is she involved in an upcoming Gremlins project?
That would be interesting, and although that would also be foretelling, because that might be something else we have to record. But
that cartoon. I haven't heard anything more about that cartoon.
Yeah, not anything since we talked about it. No.
All right.
Nope.
put me out of my misery then, George.
She is the daughter of Phoebe Cates and Kevin Klein.
Ah, I got the wrong star. Okay, wow, is that right? Okay, cool. Yeah. Good for her. Great for her. Fantastic. I believe
eldest daughter. Yeah, she was born in 94. So shortly after Gremlins 2 released in 94. And I believe, so they met in the 90s, early 90s and got married. And that was the fruits of their union to start with. She has a brother too named Owen.
What's her real name?
Her real name is Greta. Greta Klein.
Greta Klein. What a lovely name.
Yeah. Frankie Cosmos is her stage name. She actually has a number of other stage names. We have also known as Ingrid Superstar, Frankie Cosmos and the Emptiness, Frankie Cosmos, Greta, Ingrid, Zebu Fur, the Ingrates, Little Bear, and just Greta again, but lowercase.
Is she literally named after Greta the Gremlin?
I hope so.
I mean, it's too coincidental, isn't it? Because it's a very seldom heard name.
It's also funny, Greta is the name of my Volkswagen.
Well, there you go.
Greta the Jetta.
Right. Well, that's cool. Fantastic. And she's you know, successful and you know, blazing the trails. Good for you, Frankie. You're doing a good job. And I like that she's not just gone into acting. You know, two successful actor parents, and she's not like a lot of their kids would go and do the same thing and not be very good at it.
I feel like apparently she gravitated towards music, and I think she was like 14 or 15 and decided she wanted to play guitar and has just been doing that ever since. She had two movie appearances in The Anniversary Party and The Squid and the Whale with her brother, and then that was it. Right. She's been about the music.
Right. Well, good for her. Keep it going, Frankie.
Yeah. Greta. Keep rocking.
What was the one? Frankie Cosmos and the what?
And the Emptiness.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right. Christ. Glad you dropped the Emptiness bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thanks for that, George. That was a nice little sojourn, a little sidetrack.
You know, and just shows that, you know, aside from, you know, well, I guess something good came out of Gremlins other than the fact the movie is awesome.
Well, something good came out of Gremlins 2.
Eh.
We're going to talk a bit more about Gremlins on the next one, George. But we've got a couple more coming up for you, listeners, released at some point in the future. But it was nice to be back on the airwaves with you, George.
Yeah, you as well.
And so, do tell us about your good work on your Dune project.
Oh yeah, we've already talked about it before, but Way to Dune Minute's coming out.
Some point.
Just
really?
You keep saying that, but it's going to come out.
I believe you this time.
We're just putting a lot of work into it, of background, a lot of that sort of thing, and it's going to be a labor of love.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of background to get through, George, isn't there? There's
not a little book, bit, that's for sure.
There's the other version. What was it? The Jodorowsky? I'm probably saying.
That'll come up regularly. Check out this shit.
There's a lot of stuff going on. And Patrick Stewart.
With a pug.
What a legend.
Good times.
Well, I look forward to that, George.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have you on. We'll come fantastic. We'll offer your British opinion on things.
Not my favorite movie of all time, I've got to say. But, you know.
Have to be.
Well, no, exactly. It's not. To be honest, it's been a long, long time since I actually watched it.
You should probably watch it again, Neil.
I probably should. That's fair. And then they got another one coming. They're doing a remake, right?
Yeah, the next year.
Denis Villeneuve.
The first half of the. Yeah, that
Can
first
I
half of the new one's coming
talk
out.
Talk about that one instead.
I think we'll talk about it eventually, but you got to talk about the 84 version first.
Yeah.
If you don't eat your meat, how can you have your pudding?
Well, that's true. I do like my meat.
Mm. And pudding.
Not a big pudding guy.
Chocolate pudding.
I can take
real pudding. Real pudding, not whatever you guys call pudding, which is usually cake.
What you guys call pudding? Pudding is for you is just like a sloppy stuff in a tub, right?
It's pudding
just
like is a lovely
custardy
Custardy desserts.
That's weird. Why have you taken a name that is like a colloquial, like a collective name for all desserts?
Why would you take like the name of one thing of and make course. It into the actual, like, okay, this is all, it's like Wait, calling you, all photocopies Xeroxes.
Well, you took the name of an actual course of your meal and applied it to one specific thing that features in that course.
And also using the texture base is very important. The only dish I know of that is called a pudding, but isn't only completely pudding, is banana pudding, and that's like 70% pudding.
Just with bits of banana in?
Banana and vanilla wafers and some meringue on the top. It's so good. It's so good.
What is it with pudding? I mean, is pudding just something you buy in like little pack of tubs in the supermarket?
Well, do you buy make it pudding? That way? You can buy it instant pudding and make it out of a powder, or you can make it yourself with it's just very time intensive.
Sounds
to make
like
it
Angel Delight. Like, have you ever had Angel Delight, George?
What's in that?
Well, it's the powdered stuff. You just pour it in a bowl and pour like a milky, watery milk solution or something.
You mean actual
milk? You whisk it up, and then it's a pudding.
Now, is it creamy and smooth and shiny like a pudding, or is it fluffy?
It's probably supposed to be creamy and smooth, I guess. It's a long time since I've had an Angel Delight, it's got to be said.
I've never heard of this. Angel Delight sounds some slight weird sex move.
Oh, that could be the name of the band, George.
Oh, yeah. Angel
the
Delight.
The teeny girl band, Angel Delight. Oh, perfect.
I don't know. I don't know how your marketing is going to work on that. I kind of like the Pokemon armadillo thing better.
Pink fairy armadillo.
Yeah.
We'll stick with that then.
Fairy Dillo.
We'll see you in the next one, listeners. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Kingston Falls Police, arrest this man, he'll kill us all. His funny little bear thing's got some crazy siblings. Kingston Falls Police, arrest this girl, her short dark haircut, it's making George feel funny, wants that Kevin Kline POV, if you know what I mean. Please don't get them wet. Please don't get them wet. Please don't get them wet, unless you want some more. Kingston Falls Police, arrest this man, he's old and senile, xenophobic, racist, but he clocked those gremlins first. Kingston Falls Police, arrest this man, his crap inventions never gonna work, his poor wife has to save them all. Please don't get them wet. Please don't get them wet. Please don't get them wet, unless you want some more. Wait a minute there, he got them wet, he got them wet. Oh, wait a minute there, he got them wet,
nothing for one day. Broke all three rules. I mean, come on. Time to grow up, Billy. Let the adults sort this one out. Don't you worry about Kate. I'll take care of Kate, Billy.